out there, Mike. In addition, they're supporting some of the workers' call for you know, for extra hazard pay and so forth. At any rate, thank you for the program. I'll let you go and have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in. I hope others of you can find that. I knew that I thought I could get to it, so I'm going to say I thought it was starting at 10 a.m. this morning. It's in my general area of town, and so I thought, oh, great, I can get over there to it. So it's the post office that's on 7th in Southeast. It's you can look that up in the phone book if you can't find it. It's somewhere south of Stark, I believe. And so if you just drive down 7th there, you'll see it there, and I'm sure you'll see the rally. And they are they're rallying to support the post office. If many of you don't remember, the post office has been under attack from the right for a long time. They want to make it all privatized, and that would not serve any of us, as I think you may know. So that's an opportunity for you. I want to thank everyone who's called in today. I want to thank Ty for being there in the boardroom. Thank you, Ty. I want to remind you that this is KBLO Community Radio you're listening to, and you're the community in community. So we love you, and we are happy to have you as listeners. I'd also like you to take a moment before the end of this month. Today would be great. Please make a contribution to KBLO if you have the money to do that. Make a contribution to others. That's how we stay on the radio, and it's kbo.fm-give. So please do that. And thank you for tuning in today.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds,
yes,
poor people gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about the revolution.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. It's 9:02 a.m.
Okay, well, this is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogering. I'm filling in for Teresa. Teresa's taking a break today, so this will be an whole hour of Fight the Empire. Or, well, in combination with Press Watch and call it, we are welcoming call-ins. And so we don't have, for some reason, our theme music is not working this morning. So you'll have to imagine we are playing Prokofiev's Lieutenant Kesia Suite and with the tuba and the brass band, and it should be fading out right now. And so we will start the show. Let's go back. This is sort of some new developments have come out about the so-called Russian hacking of the Democratic National Committee. And sort of to refresh people's memory, back in July of 2016, that was almost 4 years ago, WikiLeaks released these emails that had been given to them, and the emails told how the Democratic National Committee had kind of messed around with the Bernie Sanders campaign, the party regulars were united behind Hillary Clinton, and they were messing up Bernie's campaign. And the other emails revealed Hillary Clinton's private talks to some Wall Street big shots, for which she was very well paid. So these were released back in July of 2016. It's a company called CrowdStrike, which is a cybersecurity company that works for the Democratic Party, and it was sort of in charge of the investigation of these. Of these leaks. Right away, the charge was that that Russians had hacked the Democratic National Committee's website or phones. But the CrowdStrike was pushing this notion, but it would not allow. It would not allow the FBI to examine the computers that had been leaked. In other words, CrowdStrike kind of took over the investigation itself, and they blamed Russian hacking. Now, we might say right here that a man named William Binney, who was with the NSA for 30 years, he was there. Technical director, he came out and said that this DNC material was not hacked, that it was leaked from the inside, and he based this on the time signatures of the material and various other technical aspects. And so as far as I know, William Binney has never been contradicted. He's been ignored, although he has an explanation of his sort of bucking this story that the Russians hacked it. According to William Binney, it was leaked from the inside. Somebody within the Democratic headquarters had probably put a thumb drive in and then gotten all this material and then walked out with it and passed it on to WikiLeaks. So another thing to think about is that this is material that the public had a right to know about. And it was the material, as far as I know, it was not contradicted. It was not shown to be untruthful. It was all true information. It was about how the DNC had messed around with Bernie Sanders' campaign, and it gave the details of Hillary Clinton's speeches to Wall Street insiders. So this is true material that people had a right to know about. A few months later, in December of 2017, the House Intelligence Committee interviewed the president of CrowdStrike, a man named Sean Henry, former FBI official, and he told the committee that, and I'm quoting here, "We did not have concrete evidence that data was exfiltrated. We have indicators. I guess exfiltrated is a word, new word to me, but it just means, I guess, taken out or removed or whatever. But we do not have, the thing to think about here is that he said we do not have concrete evidence. We have what he called indicators. And he said that the material was set up to be exfiltrated, but there's no evidence that says it actually left. So in other words, Sean Henry is taking down, he's backing down from this story that the material was hacked. He's saying that we have no concrete evidence that it was hacked. We have, you know, he went on to say, we have all kinds of reasonable suspicions or whatever, but there's no concrete evidence. Well, the interesting thing is that this until recently, what Sean Henry said was not revealed. It was just revealed recently. And so what happened? Why was this other story allowed to be propagated? I think most people, you know, you hear it all the time, people routinely believe that Russian hackers broke into the Democratic National Committee material and then they turned it over to WikiLeaks. Well, one thing to ask about is the public, is this what the public is led to believe? And if it's not the truth, why was this false narrative propagated? Well, the usual explanation you hear is that it kind of excuses Hillary Clinton's loss to Donald Trump. Even though she won more votes, she did not win in the Electoral College. But she, I think Donald Trump's victory came as a horrible surprise to many, many people. And so the hacking story kind of explains this loss. It's not Hillary's fault. It's a Russian interference. And this story continues to this day. Another thing that it does, it helps pave the way for a future move against Russia. If Joe Biden wins the election, becomes president, there are reasonable grounds for not a fear exactly, but we might have grounds for suspicion that the U.S. is planning some kind of move against Russia, perhaps in Ukraine or someplace else. And this story kind of paves the way for that. You know, they interfered with our election. They put this obvious misfit in the presidency for 4 years, and that kind of would excuse any move that a future president makes against Russia. So, but this truth was kept hidden for more than 2 years. Let's remember that the Intelligence Committee interviewed Sean Henry back in December of 2017, and it was kept secret until a few days or a week ago. It was Committee Chairman Adam Schiff kept it secret. And so we really have to wonder why this is. The truth kind of knocks the legs out from under the story that the Russians hacked into the DNC. It does not say they did not, but it says there is no evidence, no conclusive evidence that they did. You know, it's possible that they did, but there's the evidence is not there. And so this, without this, you know, this is sort of the foundation for a lot of mischief been going on since then. But the real facts of the case were kept hidden by Adam Schiff. Now Adam Schiff was very prominent recently because he was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee that impeached President Trump. So you saw a lot of him on TV. He's also a bit of a warmonger. If you read some of his speeches, he is very hostile towards Russia, and seems pretty willing and able to make some kind of moves against Russia. So, but all this material, this truth, is coming out to light now. So I would recommend that people check this out, and because right now, I mean, it looks like Donald Trump. Well, I'd like to ask our listeners: do you think Trump is on his way out, or do you think he'll be reelected? I follow the news a lot, and I hear opinions on both sides of this. Some people think Trump will be reelected, which would be really horrible, and others think that he'll be voted out of office, and in comes President Joe Biden. And I'm not so sure that'd be so great either. But the number to call if people want to call in with their opinion on this, the number is 503-231-8187. What do you think? Do you think the Russians hacked the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, or was it what they might call an inside job where someone downloaded the a whole bunch of emails and walked out with all this material on a thumb drive? We might say that Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, said that it was not the Russians who passed this information on to him. Julian Assange, the last we heard, is still in a prison in England. He's under some kind of charges the U.S. would like to extradite him and put him on trial, and that would be kind of, we might wonder what kind of trial he will get for being part of this leak of sensitive, kind of damaging information. Chelsea Manning was put on trial. She was part of the story where she passed information on to WikiLeaks, and she was put on trial, and I believe she got a 35-year prison term for passing on. I don't know what the actual charge was, but she was given 35 years, but then that, I believe that verdict was shut down or is overturned. And I believe she is in jail now because there's a grand jury proceeding, and she refused to give information to the DA who's running this grand jury, and as long as she refuses to give information, as long as the jury is in session, she can be jailed. So I believe she is in jail still, although her original sentence was overturned. So people out there in Radio Land, I hope everybody is doing... Hello? Somebody on the line?
Yes, we have Dale on the line.
Oh, we got Dale on the line. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning. I'm sure glad to hear a reasonable voice on KABU. You have Abe and Joe been pushing this Russiagate nonsense for 2 or 3 years, and I think they still are. You know, the whole issue of the hacking of Hillary's emails had been debunked years ago by Bill Binney.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and besides that, you know, you have to assume that we shouldn't know anything about Hillary Clinton if we're going to vote for her, because those emails, there was nothing untrue about them.
Do you know any more details? As far as I know, the emails, the information was revealed the speeches that she, these are private speeches she made to some top people in Wall Street for which she was very well paid.
It also revealed that they were rigging the primary.
Right, yes. Do you know any more details about that?
I can't off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, that Adam Schiff had been claiming all these things, and when these people that he claimed were witnesses were put under oath, they all said the opposite. And the same thing with, you know, so many of the details of this thing.
Well, where do you think this is going to go now?
I don't know that it'll go anywhere, but I think it'd just be good to have some factual reporting. And like I say, I'm really disgusted with Abe and Joe's program. It is just hideous. I think maybe you should co-host it so you can set them straight on some of these
things. There's nothing stops you from calling in to this show.
Well, the last time I called in to Joe was early on this thing, and I asked him a very simple question. I said, what evidence do you have the things that you're saying is true? And he called me a paranoid delusional and hung up.
Well, okay. Well,
so there's not much point in calling him. As long as he's got his finger on the button, he's not willing to have an honest discussion on this thing.
Well, if you get cut off, that goes on the air then too, so I don't know. I mean, that is their opinion. They are entitled to it. I mean, you know.
Well, it's one thing to have an opinion. It's something else to have fact.
Well, I would like to see, I think maybe, I would like to see on KABU sort of more open up the discussion where, you know, people, everybody has their own show, and they, you know, they come in, they do their shows, and they present their information, and then they go home, you know, and they may be aware of what other people are saying, but there's not very much kind of cross-fertilization or discussion between different radio hosts. I would like to see more of that. Why not?
Yeah, I would like that too.
You know, have some kind of a discussion where the question is, you know, what are the, you know, what is going on with Russia? What is happening to our relationship with Russia? And have different points of view. Have it kind of have it discussed out in the open. So that is.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if this is even possible, but it'd be nice if you could have on your show people like Ray McGovern or Bill Binney or Glenn Greenwald or mm-hmm. Max Blumenthal. I mean, there are a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge about this. And
well, I've had Ray McGovern. I've talked to Ray McGovern a few times.
Uh-huh.
Never been able to get hold of William Binney and or Max Blumenthal or Glenn Greenwald. I really love to have him on sometime, but well, maybe we can in the future.
Yeah. Well, in any case, I really enjoy your program. I think you're probably the most factual person there. So,
well, try to be factual. Thank you for your call.
You bet. Bye now.
We have Barry on the line.
Who is on the line?
Barry
on the line. Morning, Barry.
there. Hey, good to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About Hillary Clinton, whatever happened to Bernie Sanders? And I want to tie something in with that.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever did happen to, I think Bernie Sanders, the last I heard, he has endorsed.
What happened with Hillary Clinton when he was running? He was put out of the running with Hillary Clinton, I think.
Well, I'm not sure. What do you mean by that?
I thought he was running when Hillary Clinton was running, but anyway, I voted for someone else other than Hillary Clinton because mm-hmm. she sided with the Honduras, and it was pretty terrible. But now here we have Joseph Biden running, and he's very very tied in with crime in dealings with China, and you can't help but stay away from voting for somebody that's in these criminal dealings. A book by Peter Schweitzer, Secret Empires. Joseph Biden and John Kerry were both their sons were both into dealings with China.
Hmm. Now I don't know much about that. I know that Joe Biden's son was involved with various dealings in Ukraine. And
That's it. And I was reading about that. And if that's all the Democratic people can give, it's terrible. I would want to write in Senator Sanders in place of this other guy that's running.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe Biden was when Obama was president. Vice President Joe Biden was sort of the point man on our dealings with Ukraine. So he had his dealings in Ukraine, and his son, Hunter Biden, I believe he was on
that's
the
right.
board of some gas company, paid $50,000 a month to be on the board. On the face of it, this seems very questionable, and it certainly deserves to be investigated. And I don't know if that has ever really happened. So there's
according to this book, it did happen, and it's described in detail, so that a vote for Senator Bernie Sanders would be a vote against crime and a vote for health care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can write in something. I can write his name in. You or anyone can write his name in
mm-hmm.
in place of the other candidate. Isn't that right?
Sure, of course.
I mean, what,
mm-hmm.
okay, so my freedom isn't taken from me? You understand?
Well, you can always write in his name, but the fact that he was that his campaign was kind of shot down in many ways, it means that there's a certain amount of rigging going on in our election. You know, our elections are really kind of a travesty in so many ways. You know, the most obvious is just all the money involved, millions and millions of dollars that get put into these campaigns by the big spenders. Another thing is just the Electoral College, where Trump actually had fewer, I think 3 million fewer votes than Hillary Clinton, but he had the votes in the Electoral College, and that is why he's in the White House now. Our system put him there, you know.
Democratic Party that didn't get a better candidate up, I would think.
Well, they had their chance, but Bernie Sanders, for one reason or another, did not make it. So I suppose, you know, there are people, you know, they think that, Trump is so horrible. I think Trump is a horrible man. A lot of it is just his obnoxious personality. But, for some people, Trump is so horrible that a vote for Joe Biden is kind of mandatory. In other words, get Trump out of there, get Biden in the White House, and then we'll go on from there and do whatever
needs to be done.
But well, that seems to be the choice we have right now. It's either, you know, it's either Trump or Biden. And if you're in a swing state,
but again, I can write in Senator Sanders. That would be my choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can do that. I don't think it's going to change the election any, but you can do it.
Well, if enough people would do it, maybe it would. And thank you for your time. Thank you very much, and I like what you're doing. Okay.
Thank you. Boris is on the line.
Boris is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hello?
Hello, Boris?
Yes.
Yeah, good morning. Go ahead.
I want to strongly support your call for cross-pollination at KBOO. Our favorites that were already mentioned with their opinions go totally unchallenged, and there's so much misinformation out there now that's, you know, continually propagated in the mainstream, and Abe and Joe seem to support the status quo mainstream on a regular basis, that if there was actually cross-pollination, they wouldn't be able to just state stuff and then walk away from it without a challenge.
Well,
and
you can,
it would
you
open up
call
a
their show. You know, I mean, you can call in their show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've experienced the same thing that Dale has.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, anyone who has an opinion that goes unchallenged can feel safe in that opinion. And nobody.